Bloomberg The First Word Europe. On demand via the Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Now, today we'll get a lot of crucial European data that will set the tone, of course, for the ECB's stimulus program. German GDP is due in just 10 minutes. And later this morning, we get economic growth numbers for Italy, Greece and the Eurozone. Investors, of course, will particularly be looking out for Greece and whether the economy has slid into recession as Greek debt negotiations are back on the EU agenda. Well, Dr. Konstantin Gurdjieff, he is professor of finance at the Middlebury Institute for International Studies at Monterey, California, joins us down the line. Now, Professor, thank you so much for joining us on a very chilly, for now, Friday morning. Give us a sense of how important GDP is and whether you think it's driven by monetary policy or have we actually put some reforms through that were badly needed in Europe?
Well, I think from the Eurozone perspective, the current print of the GDP, in other words, the revision to the provisional estimate, which we saw for the first time released back in April, is very important because it will indicate for us, or will start indicating for us, first of all, are we in a cyclical upturn? Because the first quarter preliminary estimates came at a very brief pace of 0.6%. That was a very significant uptick on the previous quarters. And it also was beating the same performance for the first quarter in the United States and in the UK. So it was a big surprise for the market and was a big surprise for all of the forecasters as well. So we're looking forward towards whether the Eurostat is going to confirm that estimate or it's going to downgrade it. In terms of the, however, longer-term risks, risks are tilting to the downside in recent months. At the end of the first quarter and in April as well, we have seen some headwinds emerging in terms of the PMI indices, both across the services and across the manufacturing. We looked at also the global factors, which is still weighing on the Eurozone as well. At the same time, if you look at the forward-looking growth indicators, such as the Eurocoin, which is published by CPI and Banca d'Italia, that stood down at 0.28% growth for April. Again, the first quarter have posted a significant decline in terms of the growth rate throughout the quarter as well. So there's a lot of headwinds out there. Structurally, the economy is still weak across the Eurozone, however.
Right. But Konstantin, overall, and then you were talking about the surprise that we saw in the last couple of figures, since we had the IMF warning about forecast having to be lowered, we also had the same from the EU Commission. Inflation really is going nowhere. How much does the uptick or the small growth that we've seen, how much is that due to weaker euro and therefore ECB policies?
Yes, well, remember what happened to euro so far. If you look at the bottoming out of the euro vis-a-vis U.S. dollar and also vis-a-vis the pound sterling, you're looking at the end of November last year when we had the most favorable conditions in terms of the exports from the eurozone to the rest of the world. And this was confirmed in the eurozone trade data as well, which shows that the exports picked up during the end of the last year and into January this year. And then they started falling off in line with euro appreciation vis-a-vis the other currencies as well. So at this stage, euro valuations in the currency markets are certainly hurting the eurozone. And this is very clear in the latest data that we have through February this year from the Eurostat, where the eurozone exports from eurozone have been declining. And at the same time, trade balance is also deteriorating. It is currently the latest figure we have is at $20.2 billion for February this year. And that is the weakest figure in 4 months. So we are seeing very significant headwinds on the eurozone exports, but also significant also headwinds in terms of the consumer demand. If you look at the latest detailed figures from the eurozone, they're also showing significant weakness there.
But who can deal with these headwinds, Konstantin? We're seeing no fiscal policy. It's all, again, it's once again ECB. And actually, I've always heard that QE works when we're in the midst of the financial crisis. And then the further we get away from that, the less QE works. So what can President Draghi do if we have some pretty terrible figures today?
Reality is, I don't think ECB has anything that it can do anymore in its arsenal. It has announced a host of measures in its last meeting. Those measures are pretty much pushing to the limits what the monetary policy can do, even in unconventional sense. So if you look at, for example, at a 0.4 negative interest rate on a deposit facility, that is pretty much bang on the line in terms of the, what can be expected in terms of the eurozone banks still sustaining some sort of the profit margins at this stage. So that can't go anywhere lower. In terms of the purchasing program of the corporate bonds, that hasn't yet been fully implemented. But at the same time, the markets already reacted to it. We've seen some issues in the corporate bonds, especially as larger corporations coming up. The problem for Europe is not really, and for the Eurozone in particular, is not really the short-term policy measures that are lacking. It's actually the long-term growth catalysts which are really lacking. So if you look at the CapEx, for example, it is subdued across the entire euro area, including Germany, Italy, France. Fiscal policy, you mentioned that, is largely neutral. Mm-hmm. At least it's not contributing negatively to growth, but it is largely neutral, and there is not really much of room in terms of fiscal expenditure expansion. ECB stimulus working, as you said, in financial markets, but not on the ground. The reason for it is that the banking sector in Eurozone is still a mess. Capital and loan destruction is sporadic rather than systemic. Negative rates are taking a bite out of the margins, but even if you remove those out of the equation, market volatility is not helping them.
Right.
Real structural headwinds are really significant there, and Eurozone right now is effectively Japanified.
Talk to me about Greece. Is the IMF right? Does Greece need debt relief? And if GDP is really bad today, will we be closer to debt relief?
Well, those like myself who have called for debt relief for Greece since 2010, if not even before that, pretty much would be convinced that Greece doesn't need debt relief. It's very good that IMF has turned around in recent years and came around to that realization as well.
It's right, really, but it's just not getting support.
Policymakers are dragging their feet. No, it's not getting support. And it can't get support simply because the Eurozone is now a dysfunctional mechanism. It cannot implement policy. It cannot actually agree policy. And what we're seeing today is, again, the same football repeating once again, except the frequency of Greek crisis has now become half-yearly rather than yearly or year and a half as it was before. We now have the bailout 3.0, which was agreed in August last year, which is clearly not holding anymore. And we have the IMF, which is now taking a secondary position of kind of observer and the advisor to the whole
thing. Given what you're saying, are we likely to see another Greek crisis-style summer like we saw last year?
Of course we are. We're already seeing it. The problem is that we've gotten so accustomed to the Greek crisis now that the markets are not reacting except in Greece.
Right.
And the rest of the policymakers are kind of spotting it off as the annoying fly. Everybody right now in the markets and in the policymakers' circles are concerned with so-called Brexit, which really, frankly, let's put it this way, materially has no impact on the current structural drivers in Eurozone in terms of growth.
So, Konstantin, what you're telling me is that actually we're seeing a crisis similar to last year, but we're just pricing it wrong, or that we don't see a risk out there. Again, are you worried that we do see something like last year where either the government does a U-turn in Greece or something happens that, again, we talk about the Eurozone breaking up because of Greece?
No, because I don't see that, because it's very clear now that the political elites in Greece are incapable of putting forward any robust policy in response to the Eurozone inability to deal with the Greek crisis. At the same time, the Eurozone has now accepted the responsibility for caring Greece as effectively a comatose patient throughout the next, say, 5 years or whatever the time horizon is required for it. And as a result, it pushed aside the IMF. So the funding of Greece has now fallen onto the European institutions. European institutions are happy to keep Greece currently on a low boiler, barely alive and barely funded, so that it can stay away out of the situation where it defaults to the IMF and ECB obligations. And that's simply the equation, which is just kicking the ball into the same road once over again and expecting the same pretty much outcome. Everybody is at peace mm-hmm. right now. So I do not think that Greek crisis is going to flare up to the point where it's going to lead to Brexit itself. But it certainly is flaring up in the sense that the economy on the ground is not going to pick up, and at the same time, the popular unrest is going to continue there.
Bloomberg, the First Word Europe, weekday mornings at 1 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Washington, D.C. on Bloomberg 99.1 FM and 105.7 FM HD2, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2. In San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2. And on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2016 Bloomberg LP.